We read God's holy and inspired word this morning from 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. First Kings 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow, with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. We read the word of God that far. And on the basis of that, and all of Scripture, we have the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50, which is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, with this fourth petition, we enter now into the second half of the model prayer in which our Lord is teaching us to pray. As we've taken note of a number of times already, the Lord's Prayer is divided into two main groups of petitions. The first group is focused upon God, hallowing of His name, the coming of His kingdom, the doing of His will. The second group of petitions has to do with us and with our needs. Our need for daily bread, our need for forgiveness, and our need for deliverance from evil. As we begin this second group of petitions, there's a question that arises about the order of them. Specifically, why is it that when we come to our needs, Jesus teaches us to pray, first of all, for our daily bread before praying for forgiveness and deliverance from evil? The explanation for that is certainly not that our daily bread is more important than forgiveness and deliverance from evil. These earthly things are not more important than the spiritual things. The spiritual things are far more important. Jesus warns the man who gains the whole world, who has even beyond his daily bread, loses his soul. Said that far more important is that we lose this world and all the things of this world and gain our soul. The spiritual things are certainly more important. The order here is a practical order. We're acknowledging by the order of these petitions that we're weak, earthly creatures, so dependent upon God's providing us our daily bread. Can't go on in this life apart from that daily bread. With the strength that God provides through that daily bread, we're able then to live the Christian life and glorify God here upon the earth. What this reminds us is that even in praying this petition, we're ultimately praying for the glory of God's name. That's something we've taken note of as we've gone through the various petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We've tried to connect each of these petitions to the first petition and the hallowing of God's name to see how all of the aspects of this prayer ultimately lead to the glory of our God. That's true with this fourth petition as well. We mustn't think that our daily bread is so earthly and that there's no connection at all to anything spiritual. There certainly is. It's by the strength that God provides through that daily bread that we're able to live the Christian life. We're able to live to the glory of God. That connection is made in a passage like 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Even our eating and drinking ultimately has as its goal the glory of our God. With the strength that God provides our bodies through that daily bread, we're able to do His will for us in this life, carry out the duties of our station and calling. With that strength, we're able to seek first the kingdom of God and the cause of His church here upon the earth. Ultimately, then, to hallow His name and to seek His glory. How important, therefore, is this petition? How important is our daily dependence upon God for our daily bread? Let's consider this Lord's Day this morning under the theme, a petition for daily bread. Notice first of all the prayer offered, secondly the dependence expressed, and thirdly the answer supplied. In the fourth petition, Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? What is Jesus teaching us to pray here? First of all, Jesus is teaching us to pray for earthly things. In the past, there have been some who have interpreted this fourth petition to be a prayer for spiritual things. They say that Jesus is teaching us to pray here for spiritual bread, for the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And that interpretation of this fourth petition flows out of a misconception, a wrong understanding of the Christian life. And that misconception is that the only important thing is the soul. The body has no importance or significance at all. The only importance of the body is that it's a kind of carrying case for the soul. But the body isn't important at all, some have thought. And that's led in the past to abuse and mutilation of one's own body as they try and beat down the desires of the body. And any desire of the body, any desire for something earthly, is viewed as weakness and even as something sinful. That's not what Jesus is teaching us to pray in the fourth petition. Jesus is teaching us to pray here for earthly things, for the things of the body. Or Reformed forefathers understood that and expressed that here in Lord's Day 50. Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. We're praying here that God would provide us with food and drink, with sleep, with clothing, with a home, with enough money to pay our bills, all of our other earthly needs. God cares for our bodies. He cares for our souls, but our Heavenly Father also cares for our bodies. Our bodies are not unimportant. They're not something that can be overlooked and abused and mutilated. God cares for them. So much does God care for us, but He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to take upon Himself our flesh and blood, to die on the cross to redeem us, not only in our souls, but also in our bodies. Because God cares for soul and for body, Jesus teaches us to pray in this prayer, not only for the needs of our soul, but here, for our body. In the second place, Jesus is teaching us to pray here for our earthly needs. Not just anything we want for the body, but necessities. Lord's Day 50 speaks of that as well. Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. That explanation is based on the words of this prayer itself. Jesus teaches us to pray for bread. And in the Bible, bread is not a luxury. Bread is not something extravagant. Bread is something basic. Bread is a simple necessity, a staple of life. Something that simply provides us with the strength and the energy and the life that we stand in need of. It comes out here in 1 Kings 17 in the history of Elijah. God called Elijah to be a prophet in Israel. And he goes and he speaks to Ahab and says that in chastisement for the sins of the nation, God is going to send a drought upon the land. And then Elijah leaves and God directs him to go to live by the brook Cherith. And there God provides for Elijah. He does not provide something extravagant. Doesn't provide luxuries. He provides something basic. Water to drink from the creek. Enough food for his meals each day. A little bit of flesh and a little bit of bread brought by the ravens in the morning. And then again in the evening. The same is true when Elijah finally had to leave the brook because it had dried up. God directed him to the city of Zarephath and the home of this widow woman. And there God provided them the basics to supply and to sustain their earthly life. Not again a huge, extravagant feast every day. A little bit of oil and a little bit of meal to make a small little loaf of bread, simply to provide their daily needs. Same idea is taught in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 6. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Food and raiment. Simple necessities of life. Teaching us to pray this fourth petition. Jesus isn't teaching us to pray for whatever we want. He's not giving us free rein here to have within our hearts this longing and desire and lust for all kinds of earthly wealth and luxuries, and then we pray for whatever it is that comes to mind. Jesus is teaching us to pray very carefully here, to pray only for the necessities of life and nothing more than that. The petition is not, God, give us earthly things. It's, God, give us our daily bread. Give us the necessities of life. So that we live a very simple earthly existence. We need food. We don't need steak and lobster and fine wines. We need bread. We need water. We need rice and beans, something simple. We need clothing. We don't need the latest designer fashions. We don't need closets that are jam-packed with all kinds of new clothes. What we need is simple clothing, enough simply to cover our bodies modestly, keep us warm in the cold weather. We need a home in which to live, but we're not praying for a large, expensive mansion. Praying for a simple home. Something that's safe, that's warm, that's comfortable. We need money. We're not praying here to be fabulously wealthy. Praying simply for enough money to make ends meet and to pay our bills. We need a job. We're not praying for some lucrative career. We're not praying that God would give to us some multi-million dollar business. Praying simply for a steady job that's able to provide us with our daily needs. We have to be careful in our own minds to distinguish what is a necessity and what is luxury. The difficulty comes because that's constantly changing in the attitude and thinking of the world in which we live. Things that in years gone by were considered the height of luxury, today we often think about those same things as an absolute necessity of life. We're tempted to think, for example, that having a smartphone is a necessity. That having lots and lots of money is a necessity. Being able to go on vacations, having three vehicles parked in the driveway and in the garage, those things are necessities rather than luxuries. But honestly, we have to consider these things, necessities of life. That's what we're praying for. Not for the luxuries, but what we need for the body, our daily bread. Now, that does not mean either that being rich and having wealth is something inherently wrong and sinful. If God in His providence gives us beyond our daily bread, it's not something wrong and sinful, something to be ashamed of. We receive that also with thanksgiving, but we're not to have our heart set upon those things. Our hearts set upon being rich and wealthy and lusting after all the things of this earthly life. In our heart, we desire only enough for that day, and that's expressed in our prayer for daily bread. In the third place, Jesus is teaching us to pray here for earthly needs of that specific day. First of all, for earthly things. Secondly, earthly needs. Thirdly, daily earthly needs. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that also is exemplified in the history of Elijah here. God didn't give him an abundance at the brook Cherith. God only gave him enough for each meal. After he ate what the ravens provided in the morning, it was all gone. He had nothing left over, and then a little bit again in the evening, and nothing left over, simply enough for that day. And when he went to the widow of Zarephath, the same thing. God provided just enough oil and just enough meal to make one small little loaf of bread. Enough to provide for them just that day. And when the day was over, there was nothing left. Jesus is teaching us to pray daily for what we need. Our mind isn't to be on next year in our needs. It's not to be on next month in the needs, or even next week, or even tomorrow. The reality is, we don't even know if we're going to live tomorrow. God may come for us tonight and take us from this earthly life to glory. Our concern is simply for the needs of this day. And so we pray that when we wake up in the morning, today, Father, provide us simply with what we need. And then at the end of the day, when God has provided, maybe that means the refrigerator's empty and the pantry's barren and the bank account is completely wiped out and depleted and there's nothing left, we say, thanks, Father, for hearing and answering our prayer and giving us our daily bread. And then we lay our head down and sleep in peace without worry, knowing our Father is faithful and has provided us with our daily bread. Each day, consciously, we're to depend upon God simply for the needs of that day. Give us this day our daily bread. But in praying this petition, praying not only for God's good gifts, for those earthly things, we're also praying for God's blessing. Lord's Day 50 distinguishes those two ideas when it says, "And that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. There's a distinction made between God's gifts and his blessing. And it's essential that we have that distinction straight in our minds. God's gifts refer to all of these earthly things that we've just been talking about. Food and drink, sleep and clothing and a home and a job, health. Those are God's good gifts. And God bestows his good gifts not only upon his people, but also upon the ungodly and to all of his creatures. We read of that idea in Matthew 5, verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God bestows his good gifts, these earthly necessities, to his people and to the ungodly. In distinction from God's gifts, there's God's blessing. And God's blessing refers to his grace, his favor, his love for his elect in Jesus Christ. And that blessing is not bestowed upon the just and the unjust. His blessing is bestowed only upon his people. We read in Proverbs 3, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. God's blessing is only for his chosen in Christ. His curse is upon the ungodly. It's important to keep that distinction in mind. It's a failure to make that distinction that leads to the error of common grace. One of the errors of the teaching of common grace is a confusion of God's gifts and God's blessing and equating the two of those things. To think that when God bestows good gifts of sunshine and rain upon the field of the ungodly farmer, and he gives food and drink and health and strength to the ungodly man, that God then is blessing that man. He's bestowing a certain grace upon that ungodly person, showing a love and a favor for that one. That's not the teaching of the Word of God. There's a danger even for us in that regard to confuse in our own minds earthly things and blessings. To talk about earthly things and having earthly things is having earthly blessings. Now, for the child of God, those things are blessings, but to keep straight in our mind that earthly things in and of themselves are not inherently a blessing. Those things can be a curse. And they are that for the ungodly. God gives them good gifts of food and drink and the other necessities of life, but not as a blessing to them, as a curse to them. As Psalm 73 teaches us, God gives them those things to set them in slippery places, to lead them down into destruction. Leave them further without excuse. What we need are not only God's gifts, we need his blessing. Those earthly things, those good gifts, cannot profit us. They can only be to our spiritual detriment apart from the blessing of God. They only profit us with the blessing of God. With the blessing of God, then, those earthly things are for our spiritual benefit as his people. He gives us those good gifts as an expression of his love, his grace, his favor to us in Christ. What we're praying in this petition, then, is God, supply those earthly things. Give us our daily needs. And Father, give us those things with thy blessing. Cause those earthly things to be for our spiritual benefit. We pray that prayer in faith. Pray this prayer in conscious, daily dependence upon God and trust in Him alone to provide us with what we need. Lord's Day 50 speaks of that as well. It says that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. And then at the end it says, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. It's a great danger for us in this life that we not live conscious daily dependence upon God to supply our needs. The danger is heightened in the world in which we live today. A world with such a high standard of living. Danger is heightened for us because from a biblical point of view, we are extremely rich, we're wealthy, we have way beyond what we need for each day. Now that wealth is not inherently wrong, as we've said already. But with that comes powerful temptations. There's also temptations that come with poverty. That isn't inherently better spiritually. There's powerful temptations there too. For many of us, we have to admit we are fabulously wealthy. We have so much. And with that, there's powerful spiritual temptations not to trust in God. Now, in years gone by, people didn't have that kind of wealth. They worked hard from sun up to sun down simply to eke out an existence, simply to survive. That's not true for us. We have much more than what we need just to survive for this day. We have refrigerators and freezers that are full to overflowing. We've got nice homes. We've got bank accounts with money saved away. We maybe have some investments and some retirement funds that are waiting for us. We have so much. The temptation to trust in other things apart from God. It's the danger for us to trust in those earthly things themselves. We trust in those earthly things to provide us with happiness and satisfaction. So that our attitude is, if I don't have these things, if I don't have new things, better things than what I had before, I won't be happy, I won't be satisfied. But if I have these things, if I have this one thing that I've got my eye on, or if I've got enough money to pad my bank account, or there's enough stored away in investments and retirement funds, then I'm happy. Then I'm satisfied. And my trust is in those things for security. If I don't have a certain level of earthly things, I don't feel very secure in this life. I'm worried and anxious always about the future. Now I have these things. Got enough food in the home. There's enough money in the bank account and in the retirements and investments. And all right, now I feel secure. Trusting in earthly things to provide rather than God. It's spiritually destructive. The more we love and desire those earthly things, they become extra weight and baggage that weigh us down on our earthly pilgrimage. As we start to collect and possess more things, the spiritual reality is that those things start to possess us. They own us. They become an idol in our life. Danger becomes love of money and earthly things. That can show itself in a failure to give. I trust these earthly things for my happiness and my security. And I'm loath then to give generously and sacrificially, because if I think I give anything away, then I'm not going to be as satisfied, or I'm not going to feel as secure. I need that thing for myself. We become a tightwad, a miser, and a Scrooge. We don't give generously and in faith. Our trust is set in earthly things. The other danger is that we put our trust in ourselves, in our own care and industry, as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it. Our own care, our carefulness, our good stewardship of these things, and our industry, our work, and our good work ethic. We put our trust in that rather than in God. That's not to say, of course, that we're to be lazy or to be very uncareful with the things God has provided. God calls us to work hard. Ephesians 4, verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." God calls us to work and to work hard. Laziness is sin against God and against our employer. God is pleased to provide us with our daily bread through the means of our working hard ordinarily. And we're to be careful. We're to be good stewards of the things that God has provided. We're not to be careless. Be wise and careful with what God has provided. As Christians, we can even plan for the future. Part of good Christian stewardship is budgeting what God has given to us, planning for the future, always in the mindset and with the prayer, if God's will be such, the Lord's will be done. It's not wrong to plan. God calls us to work hard, to be careful stewards of what He's provided. But our trust is not in self. That's very easy for us to fall into when we're so wealthy. We look around at everything that we provide and we say, "I got this. I provided this with the strength of my own hard work." Or because we have all of these things, we take our eye off God. We don't consciously think about how God has provided us with all of these things. Trust in our own carefulness, our stewardship, our budgeting, our frugality. We trust in our industry, our work, our business, our hard work ethic, our business acumen. We lose sight of God. We don't trust consciously in Him to provide us with what we need for this day. There are tremendous spiritual dangers to being rich and wealthy. That's not something for us to desire. We want to be rich and have so many earthly things. In praying this prayer sincerely and from the heart, we're expressing dependence upon God. We're acknowledging God to be the fountain of all good, that He is the one who provides us with all of these things. We read of that in Psalm 104, verse 14. "He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth." Verses 27 and following. "These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. that thou givest them, they gather, thou openest thine hand. They are filled with good, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled, thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Every creature, us included, is entirely dependent upon God. God is the Creator who made all of these things. God is the God of providence who upholds, sustains, and provides for all of His creatures. The only way we have our daily bread is because God opens His hand to us and gives to us those earthly things that we need. Because God is the provider and the fountain of all good, our response then is to be dependence and trust upon Him. Faith in God, our Father, to provide. It takes faith. It takes faith when we don't see where the next meal is going to come. Got something now, but it's almost entirely exhausted. Faith to trust God will provide that next meal for us. It takes faith when the bank account is depleted and there's bills that are looming on the horizon. There's Christian school tuition that has to be paid. It takes faith to trust God will provide. Perhaps through family, perhaps through the deacons, but God will provide our needs. We pray this daily. We're to pray it sincerely and from the heart. Not just something that's rote, something that's habit and custom. Give us this day our daily bread, God. And we don't think about what that means. We're not actually living in dependence upon Him. To pray in faith and trust and dependence upon Him. Even in our wealth and riches. God, I need Thee to provide me my needs for this day. Apart from Thee, none of these things will come to me. Open Thy hand wide to me today. Give me my daily bread. That's indicative of our trust and dependence upon God always and for all things. For earthly things, but also for the spiritual, everything in our life. Live in conscious daily dependence upon our Heavenly Father. We do so in confidence, knowing that our Father will certainly provide us with what we need. He's promised us that in His Word. Matthew 7, verse 9 and following, "Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask them of Him?" Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." As our faithful Father, He cares for us. And He's promised to supply us then with what we stand in need of. We have confidence knowing that God will provide on the basis of the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. We offer this petition, as with all of the other petitions, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the basis of the greatest gift, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, that we have the confidence that our Father will provide. In ourselves, we're undeserving of any of these good gifts that God supplies. especially undeserving of His blessing. On account of our sins, we're deserving of His curse upon us. Our Father sent His Son to die, took upon Himself the curse that was upon us. And for Christ's sake and the atoning death on the cross, God blesses us with the blessing of Jesus Christ. If God has given to us this greatest of gifts, the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver us from the curse and to give us His blessing, will not our Father then supply us all these lesser things? These things that we need for this life and for the body? If He's given us what we need so that we enjoy spiritual life and the life to come, will He not give us what we need now? The lesser things for the body? And the answer is, of course. He's given to us the greatest gift in Christ. He'll certainly give us these lesser things, provide us what we need for the body. We have confidence even when God's answer to our prayer is not the one that we expect. We pray to God, give me my daily bread. Give me enough food and drink for today. Home in which to live, clothes to wear, a job, enough money. God's answer to that may be to give us lack, want, and poverty, so that we don't have enough food and there's not enough clothing. Not a warm home in which to live, and there's no money left to pay the bills and to make ends meet. Does that mean God is forsaken? He's forgotten about us, that He's broken His promise? Of course not. He's faithful. He's promised to provide. But God's answer may be different than the one that we expect. And that because God knows our needs, truly our needs, better than we do ourselves. We think we need this. God sovereignly knows in His perfect wisdom, no, this is what He's determined. This is what we need. We need lack and poverty at this time. Perhaps to strengthen our faith and trust in Him. Maybe to loosen our grip on the things of this earth. And more to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. Maybe as an opportunity for others in the body of Christ to serve me in helping provide for my needs. God knows what we need. And even when that answer is different, He's heard and He's supplied and He's given us what we truly stand in need of. We pray this then with absolute confidence. We pray in confidence that our Father will supply and give us our daily bread. We pray confidently even when the answer is different. We experience lack. We receive that with gratitude and contentment. Thanksgiving to God for providing us our needs. Pray confidently, beloved. Pray in conscious dependence upon your Heavenly Father to provide. Confidence, shed blood of Christ. Confidence, the promise of our Father. His promise never to leave you or forsake you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, Thou art a good God, the overflowing fountain of all good. Thou dost provide for us so richly, and we express now our gratitude for the abundance Thou hast provided for our souls, the abundance also Thou dost provide for our bodies. Keep us Father, from sinful trust in self and in the things of this world, strengthen our faith so that we live daily in dependence upon Thee, our God. Hear us, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's sing Psalter number 368. 368.